I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 in Korean. 사람들은 모두 놀라 어쩔 줄 몰라서 이게 도대체 어찌 된 일이오 하면서 서로 말하였다. 그런데 더러는 조롱하면서 그들이 새 술에 취하였다 하고 말하는 사람도 있었다. This is the word of God.
This is the Tagalog version or Filipino version. Mga Gawa, Kabanata, 2:12-13. Manghang-mangha silang lahat at nagtatakang nagtanungan sa isa't isa, ano ang kahulugan nito? Ngunit sinabi ng iba na sila ay mga lasing. Sila ay napuno ng matamis na alak. Ito ang salita ng Diyos.
The Portuguese version, atônitos e perplexos, todos perguntavam uns aos outros, o que isso significa? Outros, contudo, zombavam e diziam, eles beberam vinho demais.
And the Irish.
Bialtacht agus marvelur hugeleir, agus deridís le céile, cad is cíl le seo? Agus é a deir a cuidéile acu le teann fin nóide. Lán de ín uair atá siad san.
Now in Mandarin. Just to clarify, my Mandarin is not so good, so I might make mistakes. 众人都惊讶猜疑。
And in English, Acts 2:12-13, we read, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Now let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 2 in Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. Now maybe you've come here this morning and you're asking yourself, what does all of this mean, and what is Pentecost about, and what all of these different languages mean? I couldn't understand anything anybody said earlier. We're here as a multilingual community. We could have spent much longer sharing our native languages than we did with those represented. We're a multilingual community, but we share the language of the gospel, we share the good news of Jesus one with another, and we're united together with all of our multicultural languages and differences by the power of his Holy Spirit. And this passage today is where the Holy Spirit came to stay on a day known as Pentecost. Now, there's lots of strange things going on, and people there at the time thought it was strange as well. So let's look a little bit at the context. So if you look across at chapter 1 and the opening verses, this is Luke writing. He says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while standing with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So Jesus has ascended. They are anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, the day of Pentecost was a big celebration of the harvest. It happened 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. And so it attracted huge crowds into Jerusalem. And the disciples are together. They're all in one place. And suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this sudden sound appears. It sounded like mighty rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were. And then these tongues that looked like fire appeared on each one of them and rested on them. And verse 4, they were all filled. Here is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus had given with the Holy Spirit. And immediately then they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now today I want us to think about this passage in terms of speaking clearly to others about Jesus because you have the Spirit. And why ought we to do that? Well, immediately we see in this passage we ought to do that because what we see here, even in this introductory four verses, is that Jesus keeps his word. Jesus had said that he would send the Holy Spirit. Jesus had spoken to them at length of a counselor, a helper, one who would come, who would explain all the things that he had done. And as he just is about to ascend, go back to the Father, to sit on his throne, having achieved his death for our sins and resurrection, and ascending up, he says, I will send this Spirit, not many days from now. And so we can be confident to speak clearly to others about Jesus because we have the Spirit and because we know that Jesus keeps his word. And therefore we can have confidence to tell about him. And we ought to be confident to trust him and in his words. And if all of these things are new to you, I hope you will already see that what Jesus says comes to pass and he is trustworthy and powerful to bring about what he says he will do. It's sudden, but it was promised. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We worship a triune God, three persons in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit was given to each of them as ordinary disciples, followers of Jesus. To all of them. Now up until now, the Spirit was given to key leaders or to prophets for specific tasks during specific occasions, and it was not for all, and it was not for keeps. But now all that's changing because Jesus has done his cleansing work through his death on the cross and his resurrection, and he has paved the way now for God to live in and through us by his Spirit, for all and for keeps. And the impact of that is immediate and it's unmistakable, it's supernatural in verse 4, where they begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, or as the Spirit enables them. And the good news of Jesus and the marvelous wonders of God begin to be told. They were always intended for all people, for all nations, for all cultures, all around the world. And we see an astonishing display of that right here now, because they begin to speak in the languages of the people around them. That's what astonished everybody in verse 6. Each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Now, I'm not very good at languages. You guys tolerate my attempts at your various languages. But when you hear someone speak to you in your own native tongue, even attempting some words, it's very moving. It's very touching. You feel a deep sense of connection. And there are amazing linguistic skills here in this church. Lots of you speak more than one language. And it's incredible to be able to see that together. But to hear, if you suddenly started hearing me speak in the other languages that we began with, that imagine how profound the experience that would be for you. I have to rely on Google Translate, but this was the real and original, if you like, Google Translate, the work of the Spirit, where each one hears in his own language. Of course, in verse 5, many people had gathered from all the nations, and they hear all of the noise that's going on. In verse 6, the multitude came together because of what they had heard going on, and they don't understand how they can hear what's being said in their own language. They're so rightly. Verse 7, they're amazed, they're astonished. And they wonder, well, how do these Galileans speak our native languages? Can you imagine me turning up to you and suddenly speaking to you in Indian or Portuguese or in Chinese? You'd be thinking, well, how has he done that? He's a Meath man. And rightly, it would be an odd thing. And so for these, they're thinking, well, these are Galileans. They're not exactly linguists. So how come they're speaking this in my own language? And that's the question they put in verse 8. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? It's because of the work of the Spirit. I heard an account of an African man who, I can't remember which country he was from, but he traveled, he was emigrating to London, Christian man, young man, and he arrived at a conference in London, and there were various speakers, and somebody got up to say they had a word of prophecy, and they spoke whatever it was. And this young man heard precisely, word for word, Psalm 23 in his own native, local African dialect, word for word. And the person who was speaking it didn't know that. And this young man came to tell him that afterwards. And that is something wonderful which the Spirit does. And how? It's by the Spirit. And what is it that these people hear? They hear the wonders of God. Look at the last bit of verse 11. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. They heard the truth about Jesus. They heard all that Jesus had done. They heard about his death. They heard about his resurrection. They heard about the fulfillment of all that God had been promising. And the point of being one of God's chosen people in the Old Testament was to share the goodness and the blessing of knowing the kindness and steadfast love of the one and only God. And that is what they heard. They heard them telling in their own tongues the mighty works of God. And we see in verse 11 that both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, heard that. In other words, those who were born into this story and those who came to it later from different backgrounds, they all hear the same thing. They hear about the mighty works of God in their own tongue, their own cultural expressions. So why should we speak clearly to others about Jesus? Because we have the Spirit? Well, you read a passage like this and you see that Christianity is not about conformity. It is about unity. We are all very different here. We all look and sound different. And God's Spirit speaks your language. He knows you. He knows your people. He is inclusive and he is particular. And we're not asking you to all become identical one to another or to abandon your traditions or your heritage. Christians don't have a one language revelation. You don't need to learn English to read the Bible or any other language for that matter. There is a translation of the Bible in your language, and where there's not, people work to get them. There's no one dress code for us as Christians. You can wear whatever you like. Our customs are varied, and of course, mistakes were made in the past as missionaries traveled around the world to make Jesus known, and certainly there were those who wanted those they spoke to conform to their dress and practice, but that's widely now acknowledged as not the appropriate thing to have done. And there's been learning there. And sure, there will be changes as you come to know Jesus from one way of life in the past to a new life in him now. But you don't have to look like me or sound like me or have my language. You're free in Christ by his Spirit to thrive in the mighty wonders of God in your own native realities. And that is a wonderful reality that we deeply, deeply value here in this congregation. We are a diverse community and we love and celebrate that. We don't have an international ministry. We are an international church. And that is because of the Spirit. The Spirit is not about conformity, but unity. And that ought to give us confidence to speak to others clearly about Jesus, because we have the Spirit, and the Spirit understands and knows our every linguistic and cultural reality. We don't need others to be just like us. We're not asking them to be just like us. And so there is an open invitation for those to come to Emmanuel as they are, for you to come as you are, and for us together to be the better one for another. And that is a wonderful reality that we see here and throughout the Scriptures. And this Spirit comes down to every one of them. You notice in the reading from Babel, they're trying to build their way up to God. They don't make it. And God has to come down to see what's going on because they're so far below. But God in his humility comes down to us. He is incarnational. He came in the person of Jesus. And he comes down now again by his Spirit to his people. So it's never about human effort. And this is why we can have confidence to speak clearly to others about Jesus, because you have the Spirit, and it's not about trying harder or to win God's approval. It's an invitation to understand God is incarnational. He comes to us. He brings his Spirit to us because of Jesus. And so we're not asking people to work their way up. That never ends well, as we see in Babel. And maybe then you don't know what to say. Verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Maybe you say, well, that hasn't happened to me, and I wouldn't even know what to say in English or any other language for that matter if somebody wanted to ask me about Jesus. I was speaking to a friend of mine, Rob Duff, who has preached here. Rob is involved in Liberty Church. They have house churches, and they have wonderful work going on. I was speaking to Rob this week, and he told me about a young man who recently came out of addiction, came to know Jesus, and no history of any of this stuff. And 3 weeks later, as they were meeting in the cafe, this young man was talking to somebody else all about all about Jesus, all about the difference he'd made in his life. This guy had no training, he's no experience, he doesn't know a lot of the Bible. He just knows Jesus changed his life, and he knows that that's a good thing, and he knows he wants to tell other people about it. So that's all you need. You don't need to know it all. You need and have the Spirit if you have bowed the knee to Jesus. And the Spirit enables you to speak clearly about what Jesus means to you. You don't need to be a theologian, so to speak, or an expert, but you need to have the enthusiasm of how Jesus is transforming your life and confidence in the Spirit, because he will enable you. It's by the Spirit. It's because the Spirit gave them utterance. And what is it they were talking about anyway? They were talking about the mighty works of God in verse 11. And sure, that might be bewildering to the people you speak to. That's what happened here. Verse 6, they were bewildered. Some might get the types of responses you see in verse 7. There might be amazement. There might be astonishment. And no doubts, and hopefully it will lead to many questions, like verse 8, how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Questions are good. The Spirit will enable you, and the Spirit is the one who will make Jesus understandable to others. It's never about our expertise or our linguistic skills or any of those things. And you may say, well, hang on. Maybe if I could speak in other languages like they do here, well, then somebody would be sure to listen to me. Well, maybe God might do that. It happened, like I mentioned, in that Psalm 23 event. But this particular giving of the Spirit is like a launch event. It's a one-off, in other words. Just as Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension were one-off events, this is a first and last kind of event, a launch event. But the work of the Spirit continues in all who come to know Jesus, just as he has promised. And when you say the greatest obstacle is, I don't know what to say, put your confidence in the Spirit, because you actually do have all the tools you need as given by Jesus and promised by Jesus and given here. Verse 12, they're all amazed and perplexed, and they said to one another, what does this mean? People will ask questions, and sometimes it takes a lot of time. Rob was telling me about that young man. It seemed to be quite a quick thing. It's not always like that. We have a friend who we got to know when we first moved to Dublin 18 years ago, who we spoke to about Jesus, spoke to about the Bible. She found it all a bit strange and hard to grasp. She came to our house for looking at the Bible more, various things that we did, but nothing really clicked. And then in recent years, Esther reconnected with her, started to read the Bible with her again. And this time things were quite different. And now this particular woman has been going to Simon's Connect group and been part of the plans for the plant that Simon's working on in Cherrywood. And it seems that the penny may have finally dropped. It's 18 years later. So things can take time. Things can be perplexing. And as people say, what does it mean? It may take time. But speak clearly to others about Jesus, because you have the Spirit. And some will, of course, think that you're crazy. Others, verse 13, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. So we ought to expect a mixed response. They all thought that they were drunk. And so while we may expect this mixed response, we ought to be bold and ask for hearing, like Peter did. In verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. So when Peter said that this is the third hour of the day, they're not drunk. Well, pubs some pubs open at 7 a.m. here in Dublin, but here, the third hour of the day was 9 a.m. The day started at 6. Eating later would have been later in the day, never mind drinking. And so he's saying, look, they're not drunk. But he says, this is something that was promised from long ago. This is a promise for all. And that account that Simon read for us in Joel emphasizes the all types of people, not just the one-offs, but for all. And sure, this is unusual, but then it would have rang a bell to those who knew their Bibles at the time, and they would have thought, hang on, this is very much like the account in Babel that we read earlier. And it's a reversal of that pride through the humility of Jesus and the work of the Spirit, not to make a name for ourselves, but to make much of God. And in Babel, languages were confused, which led to a dispersion and the cultural development, which in God's goodness was a blessing, despite that pride. But now here in this account, the Spirit comes and unites languages and people around the truth of Jesus. It's a very specific reality that has been unfolded here. And here this morning, we are doing the same. And we're anticipating then the goal of creation when multitudes from every tongue, tribe, and nation will sing of the wonders of God before his eternal throne. And so while this is an unusual account, while this is a one-off account, while this is something that is a fulfillment of a promise and bewildering, it also, when you see it in the arc of the Bible, is a perfect expression of God's purposes and his humility and kindness to bring himself to us and to make known the wonders of Jesus and to make known the reality of the need to come to him. When they all heard what Peter said in verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So what else would we do in the meantime but to make Jesus known? And so I want to encourage you this Pentecost Sunday to speak clearly to others about Jesus, because you have the Spirit if you have come to bow the knee before Jesus. Emmanuel is an international Christian community sharing faith, hope, and love in Dublin. We have all we need to do that. So let's do that. So speak clearly to others about Jesus because you have the Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you for these words, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. May we, with the help of your Spirit and his enabling, speak about the mighty wonders of God, the mighty wonders of Jesus, the mighty wonders of your grace. And may we see many come to know the reality of that truth in their life, so that they might join the chorus of those who acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.